Today, we're just going to talk about, and I just want to share, kind of give you a general overview of some of these resources, and we're going to talk about what they are and how we can use them and how they can help us overcome our barriers when it comes to interpretation. We're going to go ahead and read our focus passage of scripture, which is James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8. This is the verse that we have been reading for close to the past 2 months. And this is the platform verse from which we are focusing, dealing with our sermon series, Drawing Closer to God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this, you all. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near unto you. I want that passage of scripture to soak into your soul. Draw near to God, which it is encouraging us. It is given a command. Draw near to God. We have to be intentional about getting closer to God, because as we are intentional about getting close to God, the scripture says he will draw near to you, which is, it gives a promise. It gives a promise. And so what we're going to do is, again, we're going to look at and just kind of talk about what these resources are, or the secondary resources that we can use to help us during the stage of interpretation in the inductive Bible study method. Now, I want you all to understand this, and please hear me and hear me good. These books that you see on the table, and any other book that is considered to be, that is not the Bible, that helps give you some perspective or understanding or information on the Bible, they are considered to be secondary resources or references. I want you to understand what I'm saying, you all. These are secondary resources or references. These resources do not trump or take the place of the Bible, which is the Word of God. Now, see, that right there will preach. And I need somebody to hear this, because, see, some of you all have slipped into some bad Bible study habits. What you talking about, Q1? What I'm talking about is this. Rather than go through the progression of observation, interpretation, and application, many of us want to go straight to application. And what we want to do is we want to pick up these secondary references first and read what somebody else has to say about the text, when we haven't even taken the time to examine the text for ourselves. Hello, somebody. There is nothing wrong with these secondary resources, you all. We need them to help us when it comes to interpretation, and they help us tremendously. But do not allow the secondary resources to become a crutch. Because when it's all said and done with some of the secondary resources, please understand they are written by men. Flawed men and women, flawed, sinful individuals, even though they may have given their life to Christ, guess what? The scriptures still teach we are still flawed. Please understand me, you all. And many of these people, just like you and just like me, they have their own biases towards things, and they have their own social location, which impacts their ability to process things and how they see things. And so I'm not saying that what they have to say is not meaningful, you all. I'm saying that spend time in the text first for yourself. Write down your observations. Remember we said when it comes to observation, we're asking, what do I see? Remember we talked about the questions that we want to impose of the text when we engage the text. Who, what, when, where, why, and a how. And remember we talked about the different clues that we're looking for as biblical detectives. We're looking for things that are related. We're looking for things that are repeated. We're looking for comparisons and contrasts. And we're writing these things down so that when we get to the second step of interpretation, then we can begin to use some of these secondary resources to help us when it comes to interpretation. So the first secondary resource that I want to mention is that of Bible dictionaries. A Bible dictionary. Now, when it comes to a Bible dictionary, you all, Bible dictionaries help explain many of the words, topics, customs, and traditions in the Bible, as well as giving historical, geographical, cultural, archaeological information. Background material is also given for each book of the Bible, and short biographies are presented for the major people found throughout the Bible. So a Bible dictionary, listen, if you are in the process and you're wanting to become a serious Bible student, you want to study the Word of God, I'm going to tell you like this. The first one, other than a good study Bible, the first secondary reference or resource that you should get should be a good Bible dictionary. Because a good Bible dictionary, as I just stated to you, is going to give insight on the characters of the Bible, cultural, do you understand what I'm saying? Backgrounds of the books of the Bible, the major motifs and themes that are found throughout those different books. And it's going to help you tremendously. It's going to give you some historical context. So again, as you can see, a Bible dictionary will help you tremendously when it comes to doing your study. And so, for example, let's just say that you are reading a specific passage of scripture of the Bible. In fact, let's just say that you are looking at a passage of scripture that is talking about the Apostle Paul. And so say you're reading that, and this is your first time. It just so happened to be that this is your first time really reading about the Apostle Paul in the Bible. And you say to yourself, man, wow, this person, Paul, this got a lot to say about him. Well, you can pick up a Bible dictionary and you can go look up Paul, and you can go to Paul, and it will give you a whole layout of who he was. It'll give you scripture references to key events in the Bible about the Apostle Paul. For example, his life prior to becoming a Christian. It's going to talk about his conversion when he gave his life to Christ. It's going to talk about his whole earthly ministry. So Bible dictionaries are invaluable resources that help you tremendously. They help you tremendously. A second secondary resource that you want to have that will help you tremendously when it comes to interpretation of the scriptures is what is called an exhaustive concordance. An exhaustive concordance. Now, a concordance is this, you all. It lists every usage of every word in the Bible and gives all the references where that word may be found. That's what an exhaustive concordance does. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, how is that useful to me being able to interpret the scriptures? Here's how it's useful, you all. See, you want to be able, when reading scripture, especially if you're doing, well, let me back up. Say if you want to do a study on a specific subject or character of the Bible. Well, let's just say if we say, you know what? I want to do a study on repentance. I want to know, what does the Bible have to say about repentance? Did you hear what I said? Not what the pastor has to say about repentance, even though if the pastor is talking about repentance and it's coming from the Bible, amen, hallelujah. But what does the Bible say, you all? We got to learn how to go to the Bible for ourselves and stop relying on people to baby or spoon feed you. You got to learn how to feed yourself. And that's the purpose of this sermon series that we're doing right now with these spiritual disciplines, is to help equip you so that you can learn how to be able to draw closer to God on your own. There's nothing wrong with having people help and assist, but you need to learn how to do it on your own and by yourself, or by your lonesome. I like the way that sounds, by your lonesome. So say we're doing a Bible study on repentance. What a concordance will allow you to do is, you will go to the concordance, because again, remember, it lists every word in the Bible and it gives all the references where the word can be found. So you will go in that concordance to the word repent. And when you go to the word repent, it literally will have every single scripture reference in the Bible where the word repent is. So if it has 500 references, guess what? 500 references, and it will show you, tell you the book, chapter, and verse where you can go to read that. Again, why is that important? That's important, you all, because it's going to help you get an understanding of what the Bible teaches and says about repentance. And then it's going to help you get an understanding of the context of passages of scripture that you're studying. Because say, for example, you may be studying a passage of scripture where one word is used a certain way, but then you go and you read another passage of scripture, and you may recognize that that word is used in a different way. And you may say, now, hold on now. I don't understand that. Well, it's because, again, the word is being used in two different ways in two different contexts. And so, again, an exhaustive concordance will help you tremendously. And what I'm going to do, you all, with this video that you're watching, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to include some links in the video description for you to some of these references. A lot of references that I have a lot of books, you all, but my wife told me a couple years ago, she said, now, baby, you got too many books. I mean, literally, you have about 1,000 or so books. I'm telling you, you come to my house right now, you all, I have books upon books upon books that are in boxes. In fact, I'm going through all my boxes right now. And so what I began to do, I started the process of just converting everything or actually purchasing my books digitally. And that helps me. Literally, you all, I can go on my phone right now and go to my Kindle account and go in here, and I've already alphabetized my whole library. On my phone right now, I'm looking at my library. I have I think this thing is saying over 500 books, and I got them all alphabetized or based upon the categories, you know, apologetics, Bible references, Bible studies, Bibles, church administration, church health and growth, church history, church planning, commentaries, dictionaries of the Bible, evangelism, and so on and so on and so on. And so, but my wife told me, she said, baby, you can't buy no more books. So a lot of books that I do have are on Kindle. I have digital copies of those books, but I'm going to go ahead and I'll list in the description some of these references that I think from my years of studying the scripture that are reputable, that are good secondary resources that will help you, so that you can go ahead and click on those links and you'll have that information if you want to go ahead and order any of those books. So again, an exhaustive concordance is a great tool to help you when it comes to studying the Bible and being able to see what the Bible has to say about other passages of scripture. Then you have what I call a Bible handbook. A Bible handbook. What is a Bible handbook? Bible handbook is used for a quick reference while reading through a particular book of the Bible. This reference is arranged to follow the order of the books of the Bible. It provides background notes and a brief running commentary and includes maps, charts, archaeological notes, and many other helpful facts. And so Bible handbook, this is another source, you all. Remember, I said a Bible dictionary is one of the first things, secondary resources that you want to get. A good Bible dictionary, a good concordance, and then you want a good Bible handbook. A Bible handbook, as I read, will help you tremendously, especially when it starts from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and it does somewhat of a walkthrough. Now, the purpose of the Bible handbook, it's not like a commentary, and we'll get to commentaries. Commentaries will focus more so on looking at each verse of the Bible. Okay, that's what a lot of commentaries mainly do. Key verses of the Bible or individual verses of the Bible where it's giving you a walkthrough. The Bible handbook is going to do more of a summary of walking through that particular book. So let's go ahead and do this, you all. So what we're going to do, we're going to go to the book of Acts, one of my favorite books of the Bible. And that is also the passage of scripture. And y'all think I forgot. That's the passage of scripture in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 36 or 39. That's the passage of scripture of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which we're going to make sure during this sermon series that we go back to that story, because we're going to use that as an example. But here's what I want to show you when it comes to our studying and using a handbook. So in this Bible handbook, and I'm going to go ahead and give you an example of how it's set up. So when you go to the book of Acts, it says, who wrote Acts? It says Luke, the well-educated Gentile, physician and missionary co-worker of the Apostle Paul, wrote both Luke and Acts. For more information, see who wrote Luke in the Gospel of Luke section. And then the Bible handbook is broken up categorically in categories. It says, who is Luke's audience? Then it says, both Luke and Acts are addressed to the same recipient, quote, most excellent Theophilus, I believe you all, a recent convert who needed to be instructed and encouraged in his faith. Then it gives you the scripture reference, Luke chapter 1, verse 3, then Acts 1 and 1. And then in the Bible handbook, it tells you, it says, what is at the heart of Acts? It's basically saying, okay, what are the main themes? And this, it says this, it says Luke's purpose in Acts, Luke's purpose in Acts is in line with his purpose in the Gospel of Luke. In this two-volume work, he explains how God has continued to work out his redemptive purposes through the church. What Jesus started, the Spirit continues through his people in the book of Acts. More specifically, Luke provides in Acts a theological history of the early church. And that's exactly what you see when you read the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is about the gospel, the message of the gospel spreading throughout the uttermost ends of the world. So a Bible handbook, in this particular Bible handbook, you all, the Baker Illustrated Bible Handbook is an excellent reference. I highly recommend that you get a Bible handbook, and this is an excellent one to go ahead and get. And so again, this is another reference and another tool that will help you and aid you when it comes to the step of interpretation. And then you all, we have what are called commentaries. Okay. We have what are called commentaries. What are commentaries? A scholarly collection of explanatory notes and interpretations of the text of a particular book or section of the Bible. Its purpose is to explain and interpret the meaning of the biblical message by analyzing the words used, background, introduction, grammar, syntax, and relation of particular books to the rest of the Bible. Now, commentaries, again, you all, awesome references, you all. But as I said before, the mistake that many people make is they start by first grabbing the commentary because they want to read what somebody else has to say about the passage of scripture. Some people do this because because of their inability or because they don't feel comfortable, right, with going to the text themselves and being able to read and being able to use the different secondary resources. Some people don't know how to do these things. So they say, well, hey, I'm just going to read what somebody else has to say and I'll get their opinion, then I'll form my own opinion. That's not the way you want to do it, you all. I done seen and heard people use commentaries. Watch this. Use commentaries in their preaching and their teaching. And they done messed around and got a hold of a commentary of a person who don't even believe in the authority and authenticity of scripture. Now, I'm going to just tell you like this. This is me talking. I can't speak for anybody else, but this is me talking. I believe the word of God and I believe the Bible. Hello, somebody. And when you are looking to select a commentary, you better make sure that you read about the person or persons who sat down and who helped come up with that commentary. Because please understand this, you all, everybody who's carrying around a Bible do not believe in the word of God. Now that right there would preach. Everybody who's carrying around a Bible, they don't believe in the word of God. Listen, you got some people who some preachers who are in the pulpit who preach every Sunday. They don't even believe in the Bible. Hello, somebody. So again, the point that I'm making you all is make sure when you're looking to get a commentary or commentaries, make sure you read the person's educational background and have some understanding of this person's theological beliefs. Because understand that's going to influence and impact what they write in their commentary. But again, commentaries are helpful when they are used properly. Well, how would you use one properly? Okay, say you go through your progressionary steps and you do your observation and you get to interpretation and you get to this passage of scripture and you start reading it. And this particular commentary, the author is saying how in this verse that you're reading, he says how this particular word has several meanings, and based upon how you interpret what this word means, it's going to influence your understanding of the passage. And then you look at that, you say, you know what? When I was doing my study, and that's what I came across, that word is used different ways. But in this particular context, I got to make sure I drill down how this word functions, because if I don't get it right, then I can erroneously misinterpret this passage of scripture. So reading what the commentary says just further substantiate or validate that you was on the right path. Or the commentary may give you some idea or give you a suggestion of another book that you might want to read or some other passages of scripture that you might want to read. So again, you want to make sure that you use them in the right way. And I want to go ahead and share with you, and I'll have these links in the description, some commentary series that are really, really good, that are worthwhile for those of you all who are looking to start the process of building up your library with some commentaries. You have the New American Commentary. You have the NIV Application Commentary. Or this more or less y'all commentaries, because these commentaries that I'm sharing with you, of course, these are commentary series. So from Genesis to Revelation, there are individual commentaries on these different books found throughout the Bible. So again, you have the New American Commentaries, you have the NIV Application Commentaries, then you have the New International Commentary, and this commentary set is broken up. It's the New International Commentary of the Old Testament, and then you have one on the New Testament. Now, this particular commentary series is my go-to. It's my favorite, and I have every single one of them, you all. Not all the books, but I think I have most of them. I think I'm missing a couple books because I don't know if they have the Kindle versions out yet. But I have about 90% of those commentaries, and let me tell you something. They are absolutely amazing and loaded with rich information and insight into the Bible in general. And so again, that is the New International Commentary on the Old Testament and the New Testament. So again, I highly recommend. And also, I'm going to include in the description, there's a website called bestcommentaries.com. bestcommentaries.com. I came across this website probably about maybe like 7 years ago, and I love this website, you all, because what it does is it ranks all of the commentaries. It has a number of different commentaries. You have people who are pastors, people who are laypersons in the church, who go on and they type in there, you know, their reviews of the commentary, how the books have helped them. And again, like I told you, it ranks every single commentaries individually based off on series. So I'm going to include that in the description for you as well. I believe that will be a very helpful tool. So you have commentaries. They help. And again, all these different secondary resources, y'all, they help us overcome the barrier with the language barrier, the culture barrier, and the literary genre barrier. Now, when it comes to the language barrier, you all, when it comes to the language barrier, some of the secondary resources tools that are available that will help us are as such. You have what is called an interlinear Greek/English New Testament. And so when it comes to this particular secondary resource, you all, here's what it does. This is the only Bible that includes the complete Hebrew, Well, in this context, because this is Greek, but with the interlinear Bibles, they actually have them in Hebrew and you can get them in Greek. But the one that I'm holding up to you all is in Greek. But again, they have them in Hebrew and they have them in Greek. But it includes the Greek or Hebrew text with a direct English translation below of each word. And it also includes the literary translation of the Bible in the outside column, so you can easily read through the Bible. And then it has it coded with the strong numbers printed. And by strong numbers, I mean like the, talking about the strong numbers or concordance numbers that'll help guide you to those specific words. And that helps out tremendously, you all, because you're able to open this book and you can read a literal translation. We have the Greek text, a literal translation, and you're able to see each individual word in the Greek. And as I said, those words have a number coded on there, and that number will take you directly, when you use the appropriate source, it'll take you directly to the meaning of that word, and you can read what that word means. A very helpful tool to help you when you are studying a passage of scripture and you're seeking to understand and do word study. Along the same lines, you have an expository dictionary of Bible words. Expository dictionary of Bible words, which is also another great reference and resource. And what this does, you all, this helps you because it actually has in here the Hebrew and the Greek words in the original, and you're in the original words of the Bible, and then you're able to go and you're able to read what these words mean. And again, it has a coded system so that it will take you, when using another reference, to go directly where you can read that word. I mean, these are awesome, you all. I get lost in many of these. Again, another tremendous helpful reference that will help you when it comes to doing your Bible word study, And then we also have, when it comes to the cultural context, remember we talked about when understanding the passage of scripture, the cultural context, you have Bible background commentary. This is a Bible background commentary, and it helps you tremendously to be able to understand the cultural background of the Bible during that time, and also of that particular passage of scripture that you are reading. It'll bring out some things to help you understand what it means and what is going on culturally. So again, those are Bible background commentaries. And lastly, you have what are called scripture cross-references. And that's what these two books are. This is the New Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. Excellent resource, you all. I'm going to put it in the description. And then you have the Nelson's Cross-Reference Guide to the Bible. And the way these two references help you all tremendously is cross-reference. So what they do is they take every single passage of scripture in the Bible that is related to other passages of scripture in the Bible, and it gives you the reference of those passages of scripture. So say if I'm reading a passage of scripture that says that Jesus healed the man of leprosy, then if I read in that reference is going to include every single reference in the Bible where Jesus healed somebody of leprosy. So that if I'm doing a study, and for those of you all who are doing a Bible study, or those of you all who are seeking to preach on a passage of scripture, then you will go and look at those other different references, and you may use one of those as an example in your teaching or in your sermon to be able to say, well, just like Jesus healed the 10 men who lifted up their voices, he also healed a man on one occasion who came and said, Lord, I know that you are willing. You know, you can make me whole if you're willing. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him because you went and you read that reference. So again, this is another awesome reference tool to have and to add to your Bible. And then right over here, we have Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Manners and Customs of the Bible. Again, this is more so dealing with cultural background, but that is an excellent reference as well because it helps you get an understanding of the manner and customs of the Bible. And I'm telling you like this, you all, if you pick up a book that deals with the manners and customs of the Bible and just take the time to read, just go and read about death, or go and read about marriage, or go and read about, any subject that you can think about, transportation. And it helps you get an understanding of how the people during that time, how they lived. And I find it all to be fascinating, you all. So these are all, these secondary resources or references help us when it comes to biblical interpretation. But never forget, these are simply references. They are tools to help us interpret the main tool, which is the Word of God. I hope you were encouraged. May God keep you and may He bless you. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we just thank you in the name of Jesus for allowing us to be able to spend some time together, Lord, as we talk about the importance of biblical interpretation and the secondary resources, Lord God, that have been provided that we can use to aid us in our journey of being able to understand what the text means. Lord God, help us understand and know that these secondary resources are not designed to replace your word, but they are designed to help us understand your word. Lord God, we bless you and we love you. In the name of your son, Jesus, amen.
Man, why are you not in the bed asleep?
That don't mean nothing, woman. I just got finished wrapping up. Yeah, because before I started, I was in here just kind of going over my stuff. So I just got finished. My preach time was 37 minutes, but I'll probably end up chopping it down to 32. Because, you know, before each sermon, I do like that little mini recap. And then when I go home and I do the video,